Really? We're going to bust it down?
It's the hip-hop remix, man.
Oh, I thought you were scatting. I thought you were scatting like Freddie Mercury.
Just beatboxing, man. Just beatboxing the way that heavy metal's supposed to be heard.
Anthrax, Public Enemy. Not long enough ago. You're listening to PF Pod, Papa's Football Podcast. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood today. Show's website is pfpod.com. We put out a weekly football podcast for you. Discuss the games that were, the games to come, any interesting tidbits we find. Yes, a tidbit or two. There's an article posted every Thursday. That's Howard writing the power rankings. It's good stuff. He crops it at the top 12. He gives a shit what number 31 in the league is doing. I don't care what the Jags are going to do. Neither does the author. If you've ever read a full football power ranking, you can tell he's tapped out by that point. He's done with it.
You're not impressed by Tampa Bay winning three in a row?
I mean, slightly, just because it might keep that Shiano around or whatever. Like, honestly, if they wrap up with another, they have what? They're 3-8 right now? So they've got
the same record as the Washington Redskins, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like what Arizona last year was 4-0, I think, and wound up 4-12. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah. It's they win another three and they wind up 6-10. He's sticking around. Mark my words. Because it looks more and more like Josh Freeman was the piece of shit, was the turd in the pool.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Glennon's record as a starter? It's suddenly pretty good.
Yeah. It's not like Freeman has gone on to the Vikes to light the world on fire.
Hey, do you know Mike Glennon comes from my hood?
Where?
The suburbs of Centerville, Virginia.
So he's like 2 feet from my hood.
Yeah, but no, like if we had both gone to high school when he went to high school, you and I would not have gone to the same high school.
Oh, okay.
And we never would have been besties in Latin. That Latin class was
There's
epic.
Actually some Latin coming out later for the Papa's Basement episode we're recording.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to save that for you. Speaking of Papa's Basement, pfpod.com. That is not the only thing we put together. We also do inpapasbasement.com. That's my yappy, yappy, non-football podcast. And last but not least, thespookiescomic.com, a comic that I write and my more talented friend Jerry draws. Now you're all caught up. Visit all three of those URLs, though, for fine products. Totally unbiased. Totally. So did we see the game of the year thus far this Sunday?
Pretty amazing. I mean, it was right up there with New England versus Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, I'd actually say that was a better quality game because the tale of two halves, when you watch Denver playing New England, just showed two teams that are not necessarily ready for the playoff matchup against one another. I think it would be a different game if they had a rematch in the playoffs.
I'm on a level with you. I saw a lot of it. I definitely did not see all of it. 8:30 to 9. You know me, unless it's the most compelling thing I've ever seen, I'm punching out for what's now over, as of last week, Boardwalk Empire at 9. Well, I think by 9 p.m. they were down 24-0, the Patriots.
I appreciate
it was just turnover after turnover.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty, because watching the first half, like, I will say that I would heavily favor New England in the rematch, just regardless of where the game is played, because Denver relied on... three turnovers in order to generate their first 17
points.
They had
nothing without those turnovers. Fucking Manning looked like he wanted as much to do on that field and that temperature as you and I would.
Yeah.
Like, just cold, his big forehead red imprint, even redder in that blistering temperature. He's got, like, the balaclava or whatever on his head. Whatever the Brits call it. Look it up. It's a great word. So I punch out. I've got a Dewey defeats Truman moment. I was just like, oh, this shit's done. So I go and watch Boardwalk, especially as the season finale. I'm like, someone's dying.
Yeah,
I ain't having that shit spoiled. I realize this show is like 6 viewers, but a couple of them are my friends. Blue Shorts. My buddy Blue Shorts, he watches it. He might tweet something. I don't know. I can't be too safe. So I'm watching about halfway through. I'm like, here's a lull. I flip back. It's suddenly 24-14. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, man,
this can't be really happening.
Their first four drives were touchdowns in the second half. It was epic.
I flip back, and I'm watching more. And by the way, someone does die. My favorite character. If you you're,
just, Dude, I'm not even caught up yet to... No, I'm just kidding. I don't watch that shit. I'm never going to watch that shit.
If you're into Boardwalk Empire, tap out for like 30 seconds starting now. They kill this dude half-face. I don't even know his real name. He's just like a World War One vet. And he's got like a plaster of Paris face.
I was going to say, if they kill a half-breed, I'm like, why do they got to do that? No. Like, it's always the half-breed.
That's how they end each episode, actually.
First Jonathan Martin, and now this guy in Boardwalk Empire. That's bullshit, man. You can't this be doing this to...
This guy is a face prosthetic, and it's just plaster of Paris. This is the state of medicine back then, painted to kind of look like his face, even matching his mustache. So he's stuck with a mustache the rest of his life. And then this plaster of Paris thing is stuck to his glasses. So he puts that on like a pair of glasses, and he pulls it off, and it's just brutal. It looks like Harvey Dent time.
Wow.
And he talks like this. It's almost like Sling Blady. Like he's got a kind of drooly bulldog mouth on the other side, because... Mind you, the side that's gone is just skeletal, charred flesh, pretty much. He's the Terminator on that show. That guy, I don't know his name. He's just fucking half-face the killer. He kills all kinds of dudes. He's the most badass dude surviving shootout after shootout. He's an army sniper. And he goes out like a bitch at the end of season four. I was brokenhearted. My favorite character, and he's gone. So if you weren't listening, you can come back now. And if that went longer than 30 seconds, my apologies.
That's messed up, man.
Yeah. So Half-Face dies, and I flip back, and it's 28 to 24. And I'm like, you're fucking kidding me, right? How did this happen? And then I sat and watched the rest of the game. And Denver's so beatable. That's what I walked away with. Denver,
except when they play Kansas City, though. So they're playing Denver. Denver's playing Kansas City this weekend.
But,
you really think?
But in the what I'm saying is the playoffs. And if nothing else, guess where the fucking Super Bowl is this year? Guess where? It's cold, and it's called New York. That's where.
Yeah. I mean,
it's gonna be open air. Like, this isn't Peyton getting to travel to Miami or San Diego, whale's vagina. Or what other stadiums do they tend to shove it in? Miami's like every other year. And then New Orleans is like the off years.
I'll say this. In Peyton's defense, I've always given him a hard time for not really being able to call a run offense. They ran a decent run offense on Monday night.
They ran a great one. He couldn't pass for shit. His passing was horrific.
It was mediocre. It was mediocre. It was not Peyton Manning. It's not a Hall of Fame performance.
No.
Because he threw around like 50% completion rate.
Well, not just that, he barely passed, though. Like, he knew he wasn't hot. Like, he barely passed, man.
Well, they were playing.
And then you've got Brady coming out and passing like a mother... Not just passing okay, not just passing better than Peyton, passing like a motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, they were running the ball in the first half, and that's kind of how they the Patriots turned the ball over those few times. Their running backs just weren't holding on to the ball in the first quarter. And I guess my problem with Denver is they don't build a game plan over the course of four quarters the way that the Patriots do. Because I think they had a game plan where they were willing to go to the passing game if needed later. They didn't try to establish the run and then go to that. Peyton looked up and saw that they were dropping back quite a bit to play the pass offense. It's the only reason they were running the ball. But in the second half, like, I just didn't feel like they had a real strategic
dummy
direction.
So. Jack Del Rio sitting there.
Yeah, to be fair, John Fox is very much like an excellent strategist. So hopefully when he comes back, he's able to lead this team in the playoffs better than what Peyton and Jack are doing. Because on offense, I just don't think they have it to make to the Super Bowl without John Fox.
Speaking of primetime destructions, we've got our Washington Redskins.
Your Washington Redskins.
Our. It's in your veins. Don't try to escape.
In my face, because I happen to live nearby. There's nothing I enjoy more, though, than a nice laugh at their expense.
Losing, I believe, 27-6 at home to the San Francisco 49ers. The talk around the league, of course, is Kaepernick back. And I just want to be like, no. Simple, no. Look what the Chiefs did against a string of shitty opponents. And then look what they've done against two decent ones. It is the same thing.
Kaepernick is back. Yeah, anytime he plays a defense that can't.
Like, exactly.
Cover receivers.
If you have horrible cornerbacks and an ineffective pass rush, then he's doing just fine. Who was it for the 49ers? You brought this one up. And by the way, I I watched some of this game as a Skins fan. I'm not one of those guys who feels to be a fan. You have to sit there and watch your team get destroyed because it's too painful for me. It's like if you love your wife, do you have to watch the entire time that the Nazis drag her to the showers?
I
would turn away and want to have a happy memory.
I think you have to watch playoff games. I think you have to watch playoff games.
Oh, I watched last year when RG3 just had his knee buckle like a racehorse that's about to get 12-gauge pain medicine.
Because
I watched that whole debacle.
It's a different sport, but I'm eternally going to hold this against Miami Heat fans who left early in that Game 6 in the NBA Finals and were shut out when the Heat made the comeback.
Well, that's what they are. That is what Miami Heat fans are. They're fickle. It's Miami. Can you blame them? It's the same with San Diego. Wouldn't you rather go outside and just see like half-dressed, gorgeous women? I would. And I live in front of my TV, and even I can make that decision.
But here's the thing, man. Like I'm a LeBron James fan. I'm not a Heat fan, but I want to see LeBron like bring home 7 rings. I basically want to see him one up Jordan. So this is one of my things in sports. People can like
I'm down for that. No other reason. No, Jordan was such a mean cunt. Oh, he was mean and a dick and a savage bastard. Which again, he's just a product of the times. You know who's
I think
even?
So, yeah.
You know. Without flinching, when they asked Jordan, who would your ideal teammate be? He says Larry Bird. And you know what Larry Bird is? Another mean cunt.
Yeah.
They're just the... Oh, Allison had problems with that mic, by the way. You're kind of stuck with that one. They are the two meanest fucks that ever played a sport. And the mind games they did? Oh, well, I'm trying to remember. Was it the All-Star game for the three-point contest? Bird literally just marches in the locker room. And he looks around and he just goes, I want to see who's coming in second, and then leaves.
That's awesome.
He was such a bitch.
I mean, it's funny because they were giving LeBron a hard time for going to the Heat to play with Dwayne. And, I think they were giving problems to all the guys for being too friendly. Like, Kevin Durant is really friendly with everybody, too. And they're all mad. Like, why are you guys friends? It's like, I don't know. Maybe because we're all really rich and we're having a great time as one of us gets to claim a championship. I'd prefer it was me, but... I'm not going to be an asshole about it.
Yeah, exactly. Who do they have more in common with? The old Heat fan or another 27-year-old rich black pro athlete? I wonder.
Someone that they want a gold medal with at the Olympics? I don't know. That seems like a pretty bonding experience.
Yeah.
I guess for the Dream Team, the original one, they didn't do that until like more towards the twilight of their careers when they were older and wiser.
So they were all like... early 30s? Bird was there really as a figurehead. He already had his back going out. But again, you want to know what a piece of mean shit Jordan was? He literally studied his teammates so he could pick up on shit he could use against them when they went back to the real world to play. There was no camaraderie. He was just in Monte Carlo gambling until 7 a.m. drinking champagne flutes.
Yeah.
And fucking women with hairy armpits.
So this is why, like, I always find it weird people hate LeBron. I'm like, LeBron actually, like, he is trying to be a decent person.
How did we get onto this, by the way?
Well, here, let me go back to it. So I watched Game 5.
I don't mind. We could just do a basketball podcast the rest of the day.
Long story short, like, the relationship between being an NFL fan, you got to stick around for the playoffs. It goes back to I sat through Game 5 watching LeBron and the Heat get blown out in the NBA Finals. That was terrible to watch, but I sat there every moment just waiting. I was like, we are coming back Game 6, and this is going to happen. They're going to win the next two, and that's that. And that was much more satisfying having, like, sat through the shit as they got destroyed in Game 5. I think a lot of people probably turned off their TVs. I was like, nah, I'm staying up for this. And that's how you got
to
approach
an NFL
playoff game. I
believe I tapped out on that, to be quite honest. I'm pretty sure.
But you don't give a shit. Whereas, like, that Redskins game, you watch the end of them getting their asses beat by Seattle.
I did. That, you don't, because it's twilight for your team's season at that point.
You got to stick around for that.
But I'll watch any playoff ball, any playoff NFL.
To the last drop.
Yeah, No, you're right. If it's a blowout and it's teams I don't care about. Yeah. Like, I remember how the Vikings somehow trickled into the playoffs last year. And it's just like, how long is it going to take the pack to send them packing? And it wasn't that long. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go out and have a bite.
I did stick around once for a blowout in the playoffs. It was... Dan Marino getting his ass pounded 62-7.
Boy.
Him and Jimmy Johnson. I even stuck around to watch their press conferences as they were just, that was both, I think, their last games as NFL like player and coach, and they were just stunned at how embarrassed they were.
I've never felt 62
this way. 62-7, and I was just watching. It was like there was this realization they had both stuck around a year too long.
That's horrible. That's so damn horrible.
So I don't know. I always thought Dan Marino was a big asshole. So for me, it was a moment of joy.
I mean, I was, to be honest, a little too young to appreciate him. I just looked back, and the guy was kind of awesome,
He's,
in my opinion.
The problem with him was he's like Peyton Manning. Doesn't know how to run the ball, really. Like, you cannot
Not just that. He, unlike Peyton, had a completely unstocked team around him.
You can say that if you want.
This, by the way, is a preview of what we're going to do once the season dies. I think we're just going to chat NFL history for...
Yeah, no, let's beef, because I'm telling you, like, I disagree with what you just said about Marino's team. So we'll fix.
I was not like at age six going through his roster and shit. I am only regurgitating what I've heard, and what I've heard is he had a very unstocked team with shitty wideouts, shitty defenses, shitty running backs. It was literally him, his show, and he couldn't go that far into the postseason.
Right, we're definitely dealing with this in the offseason, because that's
and if he, you know, had anything around him, he would have done something. And also, you look at his record and what he managed to do stats-wise in an era where it just wasn't, it wasn't nearly as conducive to the quarterback being the star. Like, guys would give their entire drafts for stud running backs type shit. Well, that one time. Twice. I take that back. He had Ricky Williams. The Skins got an entire draft class for Ricky Williams. And then
Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Herschel Walker, the famous one that built the Dallas dynasty of the
Although 90s. One of those picks was used to get Emmitt Smith, I believe. So
yes. Yeah. I think, like, not even the first. The picks were whatever. Fuck it. We're getting too far down the rabbit hole here.
We're moving on to that after the NFL season. We got time to talk about anything else in the NFL besides what's going on right now, which is the Redskins are one of the few teams that are eliminated from the playoffs.
Have they been eliminated? Because I know in terms of 100% elimination, it's just Falcons so far.
Falcons, they're not.
100% gone. Gonzalez just sitting around doing nothing at this point. Jacking it to pictures of his hot baby mama. Do you remember her? Some Latin broad. I think she's like a news anchor in L.A. She remarried, had a couple other kids. Bitch is like mid to late 30s. Still is a smoking bot. She's so good looking. I don't remember her name at all.
No, I don't remember this at all.
Look it up. Just Tony Gonzalez. You know, wife, or I think they were just dating, and he got her
baby
pregnant.
Mama. Yeah.
Oh, she's
Tony Gonzalez's baby mama.
She is good.
Did she bounce back after her?
She's had three, and she still looks killer in a bikini. Right. Latin ass for the win. That's it. That's my playoff pick. Latin ass. There's so much more to the Skins' loss, though, not just what's on the field. I think, again, was it Ahmad Brooks?
Yeah. So after the game, Ahmad Brooks, who dominated against the Redskins, came out and just gave a lot of respect to RG3 and said, listen, he doesn't look the same on the field. He really shouldn't have played this year.
And not the first time we've heard that from someone
and
on the field.
He was trying to be respectful about it. The headline looks like it's a diss, but really when
course,
you read it.
Of course, because that's how the news has to sell anything.
Yeah, he's saying, I personally, in his situation, would have made the same decision, but he's a man and he does his own thing.
Yeah,
with
he's
the
like
way
the
he
guy's
put
a
it.
Warrior. I think
yeah.
he uses that word.
Yeah, like, people still believe in that guy. I think anytime the Redskins want to release him, because Washington fans are terrible.
We're back. Sorry, I had another business call. I don't exactly remember where we were.
I was about to light up Redskins fans for getting on RG3. Actually, you do this a little bit where you get on RG3's case for not being good now, and it's just the reality is...
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's so much... I want to say it's a cultural thing, and it's not indicative of just DC natives. Everyone just wants their damn team to win. And with when you had a team, what, they went 9-7, I think, or 10-6.
10-6
last year to get the division. They win it in dramatic fashion last week against the Cowboys. Last game of the season, if I recall, right?
Yeah, but then, like, all you guys went off after RG3, like, played in the playoff game despite probably needing to be pulled, you know, for the sake of his knee.
Well.
And now you guys are suffering this year, but it's not just like, hey, going back to that game he shouldn't have played at the end. Now you're all like, oh, he's done. He's cooked. Stick a fork in that guy.
I don't know that. Personally, I think it's amazing that the Skins have been able to field any sort of product given the salary cap penalties. Just unfairly. Really, I think anyone in the league can agree, unfair bullshit from John Mara. God, I want to impregnate his bitch daughter. Ruin his life. Ruin their Aryan purity with my dirt Greek DNA. I was looking through because the Skins, again, they shoved a bunch of contracts to that uncapped year a couple years ago. Then some bullshit sprang up that they and the Cowboys violated the spirit of that year.
They definitely
spirit
did.
Spirit of game and shit. I'll suck my dick. Nothing.
They were like
writing.
30 over
Who gives
everybody
a shit?
Else.
Who gives
on
a
spending.
Shit?
So I'm saying they deserve the penalty. And I do agree with you, though. A lot of people in that Washington area on like DC radio seem to think like, oh, that's just an excuse. I'm like, no, I think it makes a big deal when you're like scraping the bottom of the barrel for
no,
like the bottom.
I was talking to my buddy Brian Carr about this. I think the Cowboys got hit, what, 3 a year? That's a joke. That's nothing. The Skins hit 18 a year,
yeah.
I believe, correct?
Yeah.
36 split over two seasons. They're at, I think, 106 in terms of 106 million that they were able to put out this year. I think only the Bengals spent less. They spent 105, and that's just because their owner's a cheap piece of dog shit. But in terms of teams spending under $110 million, Bengals, they're bucking the trend. Your company in this club, the Browns, the Bucks, and the Skins.
Yeah.
Not exactly lighting the world on fire. This isn't, you know, baseball where Kansas City can field a team for $18 million and just rake in God knows how much cash, where Tampa does, what, 22? I
yeah.
mean, I'm exaggerating grossly, but they not that grossly. NFL, to be competitive, everyone needs to be spending pretty much at max.
Yeah, I mean, you got to
be closer.
And I
think you're going to see, by the way, the wheels come off the Bengals as time goes on.
Well, they're going to stick with Dalton if they want to maintain this kind of salary pay grade. And they'll probably
exactly.
cut him if he tries to get a big pay raise, which he
yeah.
probably they probably should if he asks for more money based on his play.
Well, he's probably going to do what Flacco did. He'll have some decent years. He's gotten them to the postseason a couple years in a row now.
At least.
He won't have the Super Bowl ring.
I hope that the Bengals at least have the decency not to pay out a Flacco-type contract. Because that's
But Christ,
just,
that
oh my
Dalton
gosh.
Has to be making what right now? 2.5, 3 a year?
Yeah, it's
Something
low.
Like that?
It's low.
The guy, minimum, you'll have to agree with me, goes to 12 a year for a new contract?
8.
Really?
I wouldn't pay him more than 8.
You wouldn't pay him. I'm saying, as the voice of reality in the NFL,
nah,
where
man.
I understand what the quarterback gets, I'm thinking he gets 10. 10
yeah,
minimum.
That's Alex Smith money, so he should get Alex Smith money. I believe that.
He's proven himself. If they keep his ass around 5 years, he'll be able to be like, look, you obviously use me to some extent. The Skins down that much. You're talking 18 mil. What does that buy you? It buys you a better O-line? Buys you some better receivers? It buys you a cornerback?
You need more stout defense up the middle. Like, it's just not... It's not working for the Redskins on D this year.
Yeah, but even, like, say they don't go for depth whatsoever. You're talking 3, like, tier 1 players for 18.
What?
3 $6 million a year contract.
And what I hate about hearing local media talk about, like, it's an excuse they're using the national television broadcasting pundits to, like, fuel this idea. I still look at what Chris Collinsworth said in the Dallas game, and I don't see how it can be false where you saw these two returns for touchdowns and the difference between special teams players for these two squads was huge. And that was basically the difference in the game. Like, Dallas basically won that game on special teams. And you're telling me that $18 million couldn't have helped you have a better special teams
yeah.
roster?
Again, just look at it like this. You're talking 3 $5 million contracts and then 3 mil that went to special teams. That isn't hurting your team because this isn't 100% built by the draft team. I mean, Shanahan wants it to go that way, but they're lucky. As much as I joke on Snyder, I think he's jinxed and they'll forever be weak with him at the helm, owning the bastard. The guy is cool with, like, spend my every penny. I don't
yeah.
give a shit. So you really think a team wouldn't be cool with 3 high-end players acquired via free agency?
Not if one of them's Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, of course. You're going to have your bust, but wouldn't you like the chance to have those busts? I would.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's unfortunate that the Skins have tanked this season And what I hate the most about local radio, like Chad Dukes, I heard him on the fucking radio yesterday spouting off about Mike Shanahan stealing people's money. What kind of fucking moron doesn't realize you guys won the division for the first time last year in what? 2 decades? Like, it's been a long time since you won the NFC East. It's been a really long time.
Did it ever happen since Skibbs? I'm trying to remember. I'm talking hypothetically. Did Norv ever do it?
I just remember, like, 93, there was this huge party because it's like, hey, another Super Bowl. That's like our third in 12 years or whatever. And now it's just like...
No, didn't they get, like... I mean, it was a much smaller window than that, dude. I want to say they were, what, like, 80...
Was I thought the first one was like
88, 91, something like that.
Something like that. Any? Oh, that's right. 87, 91, and 93, right? Something like that. I can't remember.
No, 91 was the last one.
Okay, 91. 91, 87, and then there was another.
Yeah, and that was like 84, I think.
I'm just saying, like, everybody was riding high as a kite on just like Super Bowls only, baby. And now, like, last year.
Three in a decade. That's Patriots numbers.
I mean, you guys were just jerking your meat to a fucking divisional title because that had been so long.
Yeah, tasted good.
And why are people on radio saying he should be fired that quickly? I understand their reasons he should be fired, but to say that he's done nothing as a coach is terrible for all like the big names you brought in.
Well,
under
you have
Snyder.
To be sensationalist on the radio. In all honesty, people are pissed, and this is mass communication in general. When people are pissed, they don't want to be assuaged. They want scapegoats. And they want something to get fired up about. They want someone to equal their anger. No one wants to be talked down. They want to be like, yeah, that's right. Let's kill that guy.
And I guess the scapegoat here is the decision to play RG3 from week one. I mean, we were on this show talking week one about
bullshit.
Hey, let's watch RG3 in his first preseason game. Oh, wait, no, this one counts. Yeah. So let's chalk it up to 0-1. We'll see if he can recover in games two or three.
What spoiled it for RG3? I'm saying it right now. Not enough people mention this. It was Adrian Peterson, who the year before rips his ACL final game of the season against the Skins, if I recall, and comes back and has what? He was 9 yards short of Dickerson's like all-time rushing
record.
He
literally could have broken the record on that last play. There was one defender. If he'd beat one defender, yeah, he would have had the record. It was an amazing like final play of the regular season.
Yeah, or if they just dropped all pretenses and were like, fuck Ponder, we're not getting anywhere with this kid. Just run AP 80 times. He could have had it too. And he'll never get that again, by the way. I mean, the league's brutal on running backs. I love AP, but he'll never get it. The point is, the guy had the most superhuman comeback from that surgery you're ever going to see. Ever. And everyone saw that, and RG3 rips his ACL like literally what a week later you're talking than Peterson did, and you're like, well shit, he's not even a running back, he should be done by like August with his recovery.
Yeah, but I mean everybody
and that's a bullshit timetable. You're talking one of the genetic freaks of our time and looking it would be like if you pulled a finger off of Wolverine and you're like, oh, mine's gonna grow back any day now too.
I mean, the thing is, though, RG3 is one of the craziest athletes we've seen in recent years.
Yeah,
I mean,
but he's not a big dude. Like, Peterson probably has legs like Doric Collins.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, RG3, I mean, he's got more of a basketball
he's
type
dense,
build.
He's dense, he's wiry, yeah, but he isn't some, like, slab of meat motherfucker.
Yeah, no, he's, as Rodney Harrison points out on NBC, it's a two-year injury to recover from. Rodney had the same one. It's just like that first year. You're not who you were the year before. Yeah. It's the second year that you become 100%. So,
and then you probably spend the offseason sitting around like, fuck this shit. I don't care if I re-tear it as long as I play like a man again. And then you do.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were looking at a season that was lost from week one for the Skins. So
it was. And sorry, that was such a long skin segment. It's just, I give them short shrift, I feel, actually, on the show because I know how quickly I've turned on them in the local media. Again, you mentioned the fan and all that. How easy it is to just be like, ah, fuck it, we're out again. But to the national stage, they're playing, I think, the Skins 5 primetime games this year because RG3 was so electrifying last year. They have to be wondering what the fuck's going on exactly. They're not saturated with Skins news 24/7. So it has to be weird as shit that this team that looked like it was on the rise is completely crumbling. I liken it in some ways to the same way Carolina 3 years ago, you're like, oh my God, Cam Newton was worth everything. People were idiots. He was not just an athletic black quarterback at the college level. This guy is an artist. And then the next year, the Panthers suck shit. And we're left kind of like, what happened? Well, I'm sure someone local could have really explained what happened to us. But we'll never know. I'm not going to research it. We're just kind of like, wow, they really sucked that second year. And now look again. They have this rough start. The Panthers, I believe they start, what, 1-3 or something like that? They're now 8-3, riding a 7-game win streak. Sound familiar, by the way?
No, but here's the thing that I think people are over-exaggerating. We've seen some quarterbacks have some early success now, which is rare for rookie quarterbacks. That's traditionally not been the case in the NFL. But here's the thing, like with any sport, especially one like football where adjustments are made, you are going to have guys that their second go around against teams, it's going to be harder. And they're going to assume that they can do the same thing they did the last time. And they're going to be surprised to find that, oh, actually, things that were there the first game against this team aren't there the second. So they really got to get that third time around the league, I think, for them to really prove who they are as a quarterback.
Well, there's a lot of that, too, with just the whole read option in general. And I think, like, offenses have figured out, okay, defenses are just going to blitz like crazy and get physical with the quarterback. And that's the solution to it. And what we're going to try to do is turn this guy into a pocket passer, especially with Kaepernick and RG3. And the problem is it just really hasn't worked. Like, they haven't done so well as pocket passers.
I mean, I'll say this in Kaepernick's defense. I think that they will go more to the read option as the playoffs approach. I think that they realized that he couldn't do it for a full season that way early this year. And so they're trying to get him those opportunities to pass the ball now so that if come game time, wild card round, should they make the playoffs, you will see him do whatever it takes to win that game. And it may require more running than he's done the rest of the year. So you just got to get there, though. And the Skins are out. I mean, you're going to see Carolina in there, too, probably. And, you know, Cam actually does still run the ball very effectively.
What, in the postseason? Or you mean just go a little more run happy? Because I was saying that Panthers, you might see, like, win the South, man. They got two games left against the Saints. We haven't seen how they match up.
He's going to do whatever it takes. I think Ron Rivera is just going to have Cam do whatever it takes to beat the Saints twice if possible. So, I mean, you're going to see him run the ball. As for San Fran, though, I think they're saving up Kaepernick in the run game for the playoff run, basically. So, I mean, they're still kind of tied up right now for the final wild card spot. But I think if they should fall behind, you'll see more of that. And if they're able to move ahead once they make the playoffs, they'll start doing it more come wild card round. So,
well, let's move on. I feel we've drummed all that shit into the ground. I just want to summarize the week that was. The Jets finally lose on their win week, which broke my heart. Geno Smith sucks shit. I'm so done with that kid.
Nah, he's coming back, man.
No, he isn't. He's dog shit.
Come on. Geno's my boy, man.
He's done. Done skis. Chiefs lose again, second week in a row, at home this time, 41-38.
Get ready for a three-game streak on losing. So,
who they got this week again? Bronx Denver. Again, right?
Denver. Yeah. Denver's back.
At least they're hosting. But Denver, I think, could be very pissed, very motivated to be like, fuck that. We need to get our wins where we can.
I guess the flip side, though, I mean, if Chiefs win, they're now in control of the division again.
Yeah.
So
all of a sudden, they're in the driver's seat. Lions, as shitty and fickle as we thought they were, they lose 21-24 at home to the Bucks, who are now riding again that massive three-game winning streak. And Browns, like we predicted, lost to the Steelers. They were hosting them. They lose by a lot, 27-11.
Well, Campbell got knocked out. So
you have to phrase it a certain way, by the way. Yeah, I think if the team mentioned has to be the first score, right? That's good sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
Chiefs lose 11-27.
Or the
it just sounds weird. Or I'm sorry. The Browns lose.
You should get the team right, though. That's part of radio as well.
So not necessary on this show. We've slept for a long time on what is to come tomorrow. And that is one of the best days in football, your Thanksgiving, where you've got a 12:30 game. I fuck this up every time. I always think it's a 1 p.m. game. It is not a 1 p.m. game. I always get in there halfway through the goddamn first quarter. It's a 12:30 game. If you're hearing me, 12:30. Pack hosted by the Lions.
Yeah, you better get up and be there on time to watch Matt Flynn suck. I mean, come on, man. I'm eating during that game. That's when I'm planning my meal. Like, I realize,
but I'm watching the damn thing.
I realize that has playoff implications for who wins the North, but
well, someone's taking the North, despite the fact no one wants it.
I guess watching Eddie Lacy play that game will be cool. Let's see if Megatron has a big game. I mean, that's all you can really look for. But I don't know. Every time Megatron seems to have a badass game, I tend to look away at those moments when he's killing it. Because whenever I turn back onto it, I'm like, oh, well, he's not really getting the ball at the moment.
It's just funny. I know there's at least one story with, I forget who on the Packers, saying they didn't want to bring in Rodgers this week because the Lions are a bunch of filthy animals who would, like, crack his collarbone and tackles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If they managed to get him on the ground, which isn't maybe the worst logic, but also if he's not ready, don't bring him back.
Right.
They have to be the most, one of the most frustrating teams. I swear to Christ, the Packers. Because it, I don't know about you, it just feels they're pissing away Rodgers' window. Like, he's a quarterback. It's a big window. He will never go anywhere. In terms of being traded, they'll pay whatever it takes to keep his ass around, and I'm sure he enjoys banging blonde, you know, cheesehead broads 24/7 up there. But it feels they are just not putting the team around him that's necessary. Lacy was a nice first step.
They should be in the outright lead for that division right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, already they should have had a backup quarterback who knew how to run the option, like, the offense functionally this season. Like, having to wait for Flynn to come back, that's not the way to run a team. I mean, it's nice that he was released by these two other teams because he played so horribly in recent years. But
so we can try to chase the dragon of the one good game he had in his entire NFL career against the Lions.
So, I mean, that's ridiculous, though, that they were fortunate he was released by the Raiders this year, that they were able to get someone who could run their offense. That's pathetic. Yeah. So, if they can win, though,
some very shit management.
If they can win, I mean, they're back in the division hunt. Aaron Rodgers is back, and then they should be like a team to contend with in the playoffs. So, I really want to see the Packers win this game. I got to be real. I'm getting tired of the Lions at the moment.
And then, oh, yeah, of course. You want to pull for them, and then they give away the easiest games. You're like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Yeah. Why root for you so I can get my ball stomped in the postseason?
I still think that the Lions could upset either the Saints or Seattle in the playoffs.
On their great days, yeah. But those are like down to 1-4 now. 1-4 games, they pop. And then one, they barely win, and it looks like they're giving away the other two. No, I was just going to say at 4:30, Raiders, Cowboys, I could care less about this one unless Naya Rivera is like in a sexy Santa outfit and her brother scores four touchdowns. And by the end, her celebration dance involves pulling out the box. That's it.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Exactly. Stuffing that turkey. Tee-hee. And by that, I mean her pussy with my cock. Wink, wink. And the night game, probably the best of the batch. Steelers at Ravens. This used to matter. Remember when this was the tier one game? Remember when it was like Colts and Patriots kind of went away? And this became it, but they coexisted for a while too, like cavemen and dinosaurs, according to Christ.
You knew that the team that came out on top in this rivalry every year would end up in the AFC Championship game.
Exactly.
That's how it felt.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
And now it's 2-5-6 bumblefucks fighting for breadcrumbs.
Ironically, like, whoever wins this game is going to be, I think, in control of the race for the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs.
Who does it? Because we've got another matchup, by the way, of 5-6ers. I think Dolphins at Jets.
Well, I'll say this. This is my first bias pick, I think, of the season for the Ravens. Because I live in Baltimore. I've been kind of shitting on them all season for that Flacco contract and letting Anquan Boldin go. But I just got to pick Ravens because I live in Baltimore and I hate the Steelers. I want to see the Rapisberger lose any opportunity he can. So.
I hate the Steelers, too, but it doesn't impact who I think wins. The Ravens look so, so bad.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
do.
The Steelers look much better, but God, the Ravens look shit poor.
Oh, man, they're terrible.
They are. I mean, either team, I don't think either one gets to the postseason, honestly.
I think the only way that the Steelers are, like, put in that category of not making the playoffs is if they lose this week. Like, I think they're going to compete for it if they can get over the Ravens, but I don't see the Ravens going, like, 5 out to be 10-6, whereas I think the Steelers could. I'm afraid of that.
Steelers could get weirdly hot.
Yeah.
Because they really started in the toilet. So they're doing the last couple of weeks much better than the Ravens have.
Yeah, man. I mean,
the Ravens are really more of that, like, win one, lose one.
Just the Steelers
stuff.
The Steelers' offense, to me, though, is not well run. So I think they make the kinds of mistakes that just hand the game off to an opponent anytime that the opponent is well prepared going into the game. So we'll see if the Ravens defense can deliver this game basically to Baltimore. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to be Flacco, really. I'm in.
Well, after the Thursday slate, two obvious games of the week, I think. You got Bronx at Chiefs, the rematch of, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if KC can make a difference at home.
At 425. And the game of the week, Saints at Seahawks, the battle for the NFC.
This is allegedly a preview of the NFC Championship game, in the same way we had a preview of the AFC Championship game last week. So we've had some good primetime games this week, last week, and the week before when New England's playing the Panthers. I mean, this has been some good scheduling. I'm going to give some props to the people at the NFL office who set this up, because I've been enjoying these primetime games.
Not just the brilliant fact that they stack the last few games of the season with all these divisional matchups, too.
Oh, those have been great, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, everything's live up until that last week.
We have yet to watch the Saints play the Panthers.
Yeah,
I am half chilled just talking about it.
Let me get you there the rest of the way and pull out a nipple. You also wanted to, before we wrap this up, and we got like 2 minutes left, you wanted to pick a sleeper game of the week. I already let mine out of the bag. I like Dolphins at Jets. Battle for second in the AFC East. And another set of 5 and 6s. This mirror image of what's going on in the North.
Yeah, I mean, night. That's what's funny. You got like two better known teams between the Ravens and the Steelers playing, but the reality is Dolphins Jets has the same
100%
stakes.
Is valid. Exactly.
For me, the game that I would rather focus some attention to is Titans Colts. If the Titans win, they're a game back of the Colts. That's unreal. I mean,
Titans are one of those teams that suffers because they get zero media coverage. Like, literally, the most the Titans, here's all you hear. There's three stories that come out of Tennessee. Their owner's flipping the bird, and now he's dead. Chris Johnson used to be like a fantasy superstar. I don't know what his productivity is this year. I know that they finally caved, and they were just like, fuck it, we don't pay running backs. And everyone's like, buddy, CJ, you got to pay him that. And they pay him, and he has the worst fucking season of his career. So goes to show you. And then Locker. Either, you know, floundering and now injured, and he's gone for the year, correct?
Okay. But it's just the stories about him are constantly like Jake Locker, hot or not.
It's exactly. It's like, was it his good week?
And people are still like out on him too. Like, he's another one from that rookie class where they don't know if he's gonna be good or not. And honestly, I'm just not gonna be surprised if Luck loses again. As much as people are getting on RG3 for not being great this year.
The wheels have really come off the Colts.
Yeah, like, he's a second-year quarterback, too. He's hitting a sophomore slump. So let's see if it continues as he goes up against...
And that trade for Richardson, just worse by the week. Now it looks like they pulled a Redskins, and we're just like, fuck it. Here's a free first-round pick. Enjoy. On us.
I mean, the second they, like, put him in the game, I never thought he was going to be their starting running back. I assumed Donald Brown would be the guy who plays between the tens, and then... Richardson will come in for goal line situations.
But he hasn't even been good in those.
Really? I mean, they're trying to like get him to operate in the middle of the field. And I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe with a lead.
You trade a first round pick for a running back, he better goddamn do it all 100 yards. No 10 and 10 shit.
Nah, I guess that may be how the coach is looking at it at the moment. But to me, I saw that trade. I was like, you just needed a goal line threat, and that's what you got.
You just think they got a Jerome Bettis.
Dude, that's an insult to Jerome Bettis.
I know it is. But at the end, that's what the bus was. He was just that big, beefy shit you put
fuck
in
you.
That 1 yard.
I dissed the Steelers a lot, but when the bus was on that team.
I love the bus. I know.
13,000 yards. Why is he not in the NFL Hall of Fame yet?
I don't know. Frankly, it's weird to me.
I just don't understand like all the attention that goes to Trent Richardson. Again, to repeat, Jim Brown, he's an average back, so why are we talking about him?
Such a good line. Such a damn good line.
But again, Alabama fans out there, much love to Eddie Lacy. That's probably going to be the highlight for the Green Bay offense on Thursday. So that's the only reason I'm probably going to turn it at 12:30 to see if he's rocking out with his cock out.
You've made it through Papa's Football Podcast, hosted at pfpod.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. The link is at that site. Please do that. Before you download it off the page, please get the damn iTunes link and subscribe. It means a lot. Rate us, share us, do all that bullshit. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Anything you want to plug? Your Twitter handle?
Not this week, man. Just let people eat the turkey and enjoy themselves.
Well, I got lots of plugs, so your sentiment is down the shitter. We're on Twitter, at PFPod. I'm sorry, at
Papa Football Pod.
PFPod.com is the site. Even I can't keep track of it, so why should you? At Papa's Basement, my basic Twitter handle. In papasbasement.com, the funny, in quotes, show that I do with Howard a lot of the time. And last but not least, thespookiescomic.com, comic I do with a friend of mine. Check all three sites out. Have a great Thanksgiving.